All right, it's 11:53, so we've got a little bit of time for some Q&A here. All right. Thank you. So, have those questions. Dina, you get to go first. Because we got interrupted during the break. Larry gets to go second because I've given him a hard time earlier.
When do you kind of glean from your own personal experience? Like you talked a lot about, and I agree with not saying I understand, because I know I've had that done. That's really not helpful. But where do you use your wisdom that God, or the comfort that, you know, the Bible says, you know, you're to use the comfort the Lord's given you to comfort others? Is that just more like a well of, you know, Christian experience you have that you're able to kind of more, you know, abstractly share, or where do you share specifics? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think certainly your own well of experience is going to affect the way you approach the person and the confidence you bring. But I think you can be specific. Here's how I would encourage you to do it. Be careful about hijacking the conversation to make it about you. I think our main goal is to try to enter their world. But along the way, you can say something like, you know, I had something similar happen to me in the past, and the Lord helped me through it, and maybe we could talk about that at some point. So I'm teasing them. I'm giving them a hint, but I'm not taking control of the conversation to talk about me. Because, you know, some of the people you minister to, they are caring people. And they're going to want to immediately start asking you about your situation. And I think, and I'm afraid at that point, that we're not going to be able to properly enter into their situation. Now, at the same time, if they ask, you just make a decision. If you think this would be helpful to them, go ahead and share your story. I don't think it's wrong at all. And you mentioned 2 Corinthians 1:3. Yeah, God comforts us so we can comfort others. Paul shares his situation a little bit in 2 Corinthians 1, the hardship he faced in order to help the Corinthians. So it's not wrong. Just be careful. I think we need to learn to give testimonies that are probably well-constructed. I mean, if you've had any evangelism training, you know you've been trained in how to give an evangelistic testimony, what I was before Christ, how Christ changed me, what I am now. I think we should learn to have hardship testimonies. Here's what I endured. Here's the situation. Here's how God helped me. And practice that and be able to put that in some concise language. So, yeah, there's a right place for giving testimonies. Yeah.
On page 6, getting to know the person through good listening, number 3, pay special attention to the following. So same scenario, but two different, same question, but two different scenarios. If we're counseling somebody, and if it's water cooler conversation, if they say, or they bring up superstitious religious beliefs, I know God, whatever. I hear it constantly. So do we address it then, or do we wait for another time?
Well, part of it might have to do with the urgency of the person's problem, as well as their willingness to want to talk about life with you. So the water cooler might not work at that point, but you can simply say, hey, I'd love to sit down and talk with you further about this, if you're open to that. Maybe we can talk now, or lunch, or after work, or whatever. And to be able to say, you know, as I want to hear what you're saying. You said something about you believe the Lord will do something like that. Yeah, tell me more about that. So I think we need to find out more of what they're saying. But at a certain point, I think we should be able to say something along the lines of, you know, one of the things I really love about Scripture is all the many promises God makes. And, you know, He makes promises to us on how to handle hard situations, even when things don't go the way we want. And you shared that you have this this hope that God will do this. And brother or sister, I kind of hope that with you. I hope that the Lord would do these things that you want. But here's my challenge for you, and here's my concern. I don't think, or I'm not sure that the Scripture promises that to you, and I wouldn't want you building your hope on something God has not promised to you, because you're setting yourself up for despair, discouragement, unbelief, apostasy, really. I wouldn't say that per se, but I'm telling you, you guys, you're setting yourself up for that. It's not what God wants you to build your life on. Let me give you something more sure. Even if, you know, Habakkuk 3, even if life goes horribly, the Lord will be with me. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19, it's a passage that many of us would turn to. Ball's in your court, Dustin, as to we take another question or not. I can stay for a while, so I'm not in a hurry to leave. But your child care providers might be in a hurry for you.
How do you know when to move from lamenting a hard situation with a friend to asking good, heart-probing questions? Do you wait till the next time this comes up, or do you attack it? Not attack it, but do you confront those questions?
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, sure. I tend to want to wait. I tend to want to make sure they have ample opportunity to share the hardship, to grieve. But that doesn't mean we're without Scripture, because what we can take them to is passages of lament, passages of hardship. Often we think of Psalms, but not just the Psalms. I mean, Paul had some hardships in his life. So yeah, I think we want to reinforce that. I think we want to show care. We want to weep with them and give them some hope of Scripture. And then from there, the next time we talk, we can go a little further. The book I just did there on my spouse was unfaithful, which the title is really problematic. She's never been unfaithful to me. And it's Ask the Counselor, but Ask the Counselor is in small print. I wish they'd put quotes at least. So, but that is designed not just for adultery, betrayal. It's designed for any ways in which a person is suffering mistreatment from other people. And there's 10 steps. The first 6 steps all have to do with God, your relationship with God. How do you draw near to the Lord? How do you let the Lord comfort you and strengthen you in the hardship you're facing? I would want to have that attitude. Yeah.
How would you discern if you're just speaking with someone like informally after church, if it's like, hey, I just need to take a few minutes with this sister and pray with her right here now, versus, I should really follow up and maybe meet with them, or, I need to talk to a pastor and kind of refer them there. How do you decide, you know, when to take what action?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, yeah, you're going to run into this a lot. If you do what I'm suggesting, that we learn to come alongside of each other after a service or after another gathering. Yeah, I think we should pray almost always right at that moment, a brief prayer. I think we should have some follow-up by phone, or at least text, preferably by phone, even that Sunday afternoon, and just say, hey, I was thinking about you. I just wanted to know if you'd like to talk about it further. We can talk now or get together. I think offering some kind of further contact beyond Sunday is ideal, most cases. If you sense there's something serious going on, you would do what I just said, but I think then you'd also might alert one of your pastors that a little concerned about so-and-so. Or you can wait, you know, have another conversation if it's not an emergency. Yeah. Pray for wisdom. Lord, help me know what to do here.
So I'm curious to know, at what point do you sort of say, I'm in over my head, and this person maybe needs a pastor or maybe even a mental health expert?
Sure. Well, my first response would be that it's okay to feel that way. And don't feel you've failed if you feel like this is more than I feel like I can handle. I think it ought to motivate you to want to grow and get more training, and praise God, that's what we're here for this weekend, to help out. Yeah, I guess my thought would be to try to share with the person, you know, it sounds like what you're struggling through is a pretty serious situation. I wonder if you've thought about maybe sharing this with one of our pastors. And what I would always do is offer to go with that person to the pastor. Don't send them to the pastor. Bring them, if they're willing to be brought, to the pastor. It makes a huge difference. If I'm the pastor, first of all, I want you to be part of this because I'm trying to equip the body. Even if I'm going to take lead and work with you, work with the person, I want you to be part of that. God providentially brought the thing to you, and I think you should continue on. But it's a great opportunity for you to grow and get some hands-on, on-the-job training, so to speak. So, yeah, I would make that referral. If the person doesn't want to go talk to the pastor, I think you just go ahead and meet again and try to do the best you can. And if it's a serious problem, you may have to go and tell the pastor, I'm meeting with so-and-so. They don't want to meet with you right now. Coach me, guide me. I'm going to continue to try to meet with them. I feel it's over my head. What could I do? And yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Jones. Can we thank Dr. Jones for this?